When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
Discover what BetterHelp Online Therapy can do for you. Visit BetterHelp.com today.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. It is the time for the patron chat again. It's the end of the month, and we have a wonderful topic because I think it was CadPat who brought it up this month and was like, hey, we should talk about Fallout, but if you could take Fallout and change the time period that it's in, or you know how Fallout's basically stuck in a certain kind of, I don't know, 30s to 60s time period, old Americana, but what if you changed it up? What if the time period was different? How would that be different? What kinds of things would you have in the games? So we're going to discuss all of that, and everybody has some different ideas about that. So welcome back to all of our patrons, and think about here, we're going to do the thing where I name all of you and you're going to make a sound. So think about a sound that is iconic of the time period that you're thinking about, or just a Fallout sound in general if you're just hanging out to chime in. And I'm going to name everybody. On the count of three, you're going to unmute and make the sound. Welcome back to Ash and Pumpkin, Void, Lil Green, Ira, CadPat, Nova, Germinator, and Adam's Child. All right, on the count of three, get ready. Here we go. One, two, three.
Ooh, oh my gosh.
I think I can tell what some of those were. That was wonderful. Well, let's kick this off. CadPat, you're the guy who came up with the idea this month. What is your time period? If you could take Fallout and move it into another time period, what would you do?
So what I'm thinking is the 1920s, but before I get too much into it, I know I talked to you about it, but I just want to wish my mom a happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to your mom.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I have like about that much of my phone just of notes.
Okay, so you've got a bunch of notes. He's signaling with his hand for people listening on audio, a significant portion. Also, you aren't the only person who wants to talk 1920s. So you're going to kick us off. And then those of you who also want to chime in with more ideas about 1920s, you can kind of build off of the things CadPat says, and you can kind of team up on this one. But CadPat, why don't you kick us off? Why don't you start going through your notes a little bit? And remember, there's a lot of people with a lot of ideas, so try to keep it to about 3 to 5 minutes if you can.
Okay, so what I'm thinking is you play as a Jack Malone, a detective in a not-so-windy city of Chicago. After an apocalyptic nuclear blast twists everything you know and love, including yourself, labeled as a fog walker, you are one of the few able to enter the fog unprotected and not change or fall ill. As you progress, you meet exciting new factions like the Paddies, a remnant of Chicago's police department. They are a force to be reckoned with, led by Captain Riley McNeil. She leads the Paddies towards rebuilding Chicago and the wasteland for the better. Or you could go the route of either the Rum Runners or the Capellucci crime family. The Rum Runners are a nomadic trade faction that will transport anything you need to anywhere it needs to go, for a price, of course. We're the best in the business, is what their leader, Mikey Del Moro, a fairly chipper guy who will cut you if you step out of line, which is better than getting on the wrong side of the Capelluccis. Pissing them off will land you a pair of cement shoes if you aren't careful. Sorry.
You're doing fine. Keep going.
Ran by Leo Capellucci, the Capelluccis are a heavy-duty enforcer family who are feared across the city, and for good reason. All of these factions give special perks and weapons depending on your standing with them and the others, including, now, stealth. You can quietly take down enemies without raising suspicion and being able to grab and either kill or knock them out. But beware of the Sinnies, a new faction of raiders based off 1920s Hollywood gone mad, who like to dress up in crazy colorful outfit and will kidnap people with a promise of money and food, only to be put through gruesome Squid Game style films against their will and killed.
Nice.
And yeah, so.
Yeah, so you've got like this film noir sort of gangster thing going on with this so far, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. They are killed and eaten as their film is played for the cinies to enjoy over dinner. Talk about playing with your food.
Mm.
Yeah, but psycho writers aren't your only concern, as bubblers, baiters, and flocks will kill you if you let your guard down for a second. And introducing the R017 power armor suit that is sleeker, slimmer, stronger, and equipped with the new shield. Rush through anything your way, create alliances, break bonds, and investigate what happened to the wind when Chicago Fallout drops never because Bethesda hates us.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, so Chicago, like film noir, gangsters, cops, a whole bunch of that kind of stuff, crime families. Yeah. You've got a lot sorry in there together.
Sorry for the word dump.
Oh, no, it's fine. You put a lot of stuff in there. That's pretty cool. So from your perspective, what other things aside from kind of the setting with the different like factions, you've kind of laid out different factions and individuals and things like that, but what other things make it 1920s?
It has that era of wealth faded. So, you know how in the 1920s, everyone was spending because it was the end of the First World War a couple of years before. So they were spending more money than they had. And just living it up because they could.
The Great Gatsby sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah. So lots of opulence, lots of like big differences between the wealthy and the poor right before the Great Depression. So that hasn't quite happened yet. So you've got that kind of thing going as well. Yeah. Do you mind if we bring in Nova to tag team with you? Because he said he wanted to do the 1920s too.
Oh, absolutely.
Nova, what other things? I know you've got probably a different perspective on this. What other things would you add into the 1920s here?
Ever so slightly, yes. Yeah. So personally, I'm a massive fan of the 1920s architecture style and also art in general. So the architecture of having a Fallout set in 1920s, I think would be a lot it would be a lot better compared to this like streamlined, near streamlined modern they have architecture wise within the current fall, where it is the retro futuristic style. Mm-hmm. I think that Gothic Revival would look a lot cooler because that's what you had with the first two Fallouts, was like think of the cathedral. It's not a pure Gothic, but you can see the influences inside of that architecture, that building, and also the surrounding buildings within the Boneyard and within LA and San Francisco and everything. So I think going back to that would make it look really cool, but also just the optimism that he was talking about before with the end of World War One, at least in America. The world was very optimistic, and then it was called the Roaring Twenties for a reason, because the stock market was just ticking up and up and up, and so you could take out money from a bank and then invest it into a stock, and then you could cash in a stock a year later, repay the loan plus interest, and still have a sizable little chunk of change for you to then keep and spend however you wanted. And so everyone was very, very optimistic. America was booming. This is when America was really becoming the center of the world, because not only like sure, England had its massive empire that covered a quarter of the world. France still had a great amount of influence, but America was quite literally half the global economy at that point. And then American exceptionalism really did come into us, really did come into the public view as, well, this is what America was meant to be. It was meant to be the shining city on a hill for the world to follow. And that is very clearly shown within Fallout to be a central theme, that America is the greatest, America is the best, or at least a superficial view that a lot of people a lot of pre-war Americans felt. And so I think that it would, the 1920s version of that, just like how we had in the 1950s, the theme of it would fit in really well, where like America, in contrast to the rest of the world, was it's called the Roaring Twenties. America was doing really well, while the rest of the world, and as we see in Fallout, was pretty much falling apart. So it would contrast explicitly well with both those themes already, but it would just be a little bit more even further retro in the past. But then you'd also have a lot more undertones that you could then exploit as well with criminal gangs that were, you know, bootleggers who were running alcohol from Canada and from Mexico, and then also actually make their own alcohol inside of the cities. Well, then you could subtract that and then add in whatever drug or whatever else was occurring within the United States at the time that was going to be the new criminal.
Focus of the criminal empires.
The
idea that prohibition. Cartel. Yeah, the prohibition like never ended. Could be like mm-hmm. totally a thing, right?
It would definitely be pretty interesting because then like a lot of people who do go into like melee builds will then use a lot of alcohol because it increases strength, but then decreases other things, and so alcohol all of a sudden becomes a lot rarer within the games,
and probably more taboo socially still.
Oh, much more taboo. But, yes. Yeah.
Cat Pat?
During that time, a lot of drugs were not as heavily regulated as they are now. Like meth and cocaine.
Yeah.
Like, cocaine was a child's medicine for kids that were babies that were teething. And it was even in Coca-Cola.
Palvatin from Germany. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm sorry Pervitin. If I'm not. Palvatin. That was literally just speed.
Yeah. So things would be kind of flipped in that way. But I also like the connection both of you are kind of making here of the post-war positive
optimism
of like World War One as opposed to World War Two, which are both very similar, being that like regular fallout is heavily influenced by the 1950s and this is the 1920s, and both of those are the decade after a world war, so you have kind of that parallel there, but yet the world is different and in very like specific sorts of ways.
Yeah, like in the 1920s, like I said before, Britain still had its empire, France still had its empire, but America was still coming into its own as the next great superpower. America was actually on equal standing with England, at least militarily wise, because little history thing. The Washington in 1922, the Washington Naval Treaty was signed, which then divided the world pretty much between the five great naval powers. And in militarily speaking, Navy is how you really have your dick measuring contest. If you have a big, really powerful Navy, you are the one who can dictate terms. That's why China is building up their massive Navy. Well, at the time, the United States and England could have the exact same size of Navy. So they could have, I think 15 battleships each or capital ships. Japan could only have 10, and then France and Italy were each regulated to only having 5. And so you can see the power dynamic that America had all of a sudden stepped into from a second-rate power, maybe third-rate power pre-World War One, all the way up into being this new kid on the block who able to really throw its muscle around. And so it would be pretty interesting to see how America was really in a 1920s setting, at least a 1920s mentality in the Fallout version of in a Falloutified version of that, going up against like the rest of the world. Because if it was 1920s across the globe, like not really 1920s still, but 1920s mentality still, then it would be safe to assume that England and France would have been preoccupied trying to maintain their colonial empires at the same time as the European Middle East war was occurring at the same time. And so it'd be the ramifications of that would be far more, would be very interesting to look into and see, okay, well, were the European powers also fighting against their colonies, trying to maintain them, or would they just kind of write them off in favor of trying to get the oil directly from the Middle East?
Right. And then how does China play into this decades before, when they weren't as much of a world power yet? And all of that.
Yeah, well, because in the 1920s, that's when the Chinese Civil War originally started in 1927, and so you have to think, was China facing another civil war right before the Sino-American War, and how would that affect China during the Sino-American War, and what would actually happen with that too?
Right. Yeah, lots of cool stuff here, guys. Let's open this up to everybody else. Anybody else have any questions about the 1920s or thoughts about the way this could play out? Anyone else want to chime in? Any thoughts or questions? I think you guys must have done a good enough job explaining this in very intricate detail that nobody seems to have any questions for you. Very cool stuff. 1920s, it's like close to what we already have, but yet different in very specific ways. And I like that. Who would like to go next? I think Pumpkin, did you want to go next? Pumpkin, where are we going? Take us in your time machine.
We're going the complete opposite direction. We're going to the 90s.
All right. In the 1990s.
We already know that there's a lot of stuff that happened. There was like, you know, was it Afghanistan kind of, I don't remember what kind of happens.
In the 90s, the conflict in the Middle East? Are you talking about?
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Desert Storm. Yeah. All of that. Iraq.
I'm going to be talking about the whole, like us here in the States, what's happening here. There's a lot of funny, like, last week when this was brought up, the first thing I thought about is what can I do with a Furby?
Okay.
And if we put a Furby in the Fallout world, it would replace the symbol monkey.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And it would be, if you'd enter the building, you know, Fallout, you enter a building and the symbol monkey just starts clapping, making noise. Mm-hmm. Instead, the Furby would just do its normal, it would turn on, do the breathe in, and then just do the hee 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 laugh.
Oh, man. And then people could put bombs in them. Nix in chat says grenade Furby.
Everybody that I've said that to has said that would be the scariest thing they could run into.
Yeah, their eyes are weird. They were like, as somebody who lived through that time, yeah, they were weird.
But like, there's that I was thinking like what songs would be playing on the radio, and all I could think about was Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, and all that kind of deal. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the later 90s stuff. But then you could, if you're doing earlier 90s stuff, you could do grunge bands and punk and ska, or a lot of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But like, and I think one of the other funnier ideas I had was the power armor, but it had the paint style of, if you remember those old white cups with the blue and purple spray.
Yes. Yes. That's the solo cup. That was I don't know if they were solo cups, but they were that splash of paint, like 90s thing that was on lots of stuff, like Trapper Keepers at school. You had those styles on it.
Instead of a diner being on every corner, it's a Blockbuster.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Video rental. You would have holotape rental services.
Holotape rental. Well, I mean, technically cassette tapes.
Right. Right.
So it would be a cassette tape and a holotape are just the same thing. And I was thinking about, like, instead of collectible bobbleheads, they're collectible VHS tapes, and they're all the orange VHS tapes that Nickelodeon would make.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, and the TV shows, you'd have, like, TVs that were still, like, playing old, like, loops of, like, old holotapes that are on loop.
Think of, like, Ren and Stimpy, Gargoyles.
Yeah. Right, like Nickelodeon and MTV. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I thought of the 90s the second that the question of what if it could be in another decade, what would it be? It was in the 90s immediately.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's open this up. Who has other ideas about 90s stuff that you would put in here? Ash, what do you think?
A Tamagotchi app for your Pip-Boy.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Tamagotchi app for your Pip-Boy.
This was actually a thing of like, if it was, it would be replace the Pip-Boy with a Game Boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have a Game Boy. Yeah.
And it would have like a Tamagotchi attachment.
Uh-huh.
You've been playing too much Tamagotchi, like.
I have.
Void has a thought too. Void?
So I love the idea in chat, because I'm also on Twitch. Yeah. Robots Radio at twitch.tv. Tickle Me Elmo takes the place of Giddy Up Buttercup.
Yes. Very nice.
I love that. But at the same time, how are we dealing with the Christian panic?
Oh, that like satanic panic stuff?
Mm-hmm,
Yeah, you can have that in there. That could be a part of it too. The whole Dungeons and Dragons satanic panic.
There's instead of a riots mixed in with the normal like war fighting, there's the riots of the panic of that.
Right. You would have like broken down old churches with like signs that are like the youth group room would have things like no violent video games here. Only Jesus.
You know, stuff Satan like that. Is a communist.
Yeah.
Says former goat in chat.
Yes. Oh, man, this is, I like this idea, this whole 90s version of all of this. And again, it's close. I mean, everything's just a few decades off of the stuff we have, but in a very different sort of way, you know. Cadpat, what do you think?
Okay, one, I think that would be great for like weapons and gunplay, because from the 50s until like the 80s and 90s is like a massive jump with a bunch of technologies when it comes to warfare. So
yeah,
who knows, maybe power armor could have been like 100 times more advanced, and hell, maybe been able to hover.
Right. You could take some of the advancements on some of the tech. You wouldn't be stuck to the old tech and then being kind of stuck in no miniaturization. You would be in a process of miniaturizing and creating things like Game Boys, but yet still not at the level of like post-2000s miniaturization, right?
And the other thing I was thinking was just, if this was ever to happen, they would need to do a Chuck E. Cheese ripoff, like Vault Boy Pizza.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Yeah, and have it be like, I'm sorry to say this, go the FNAF route, make them like going haywire and attacking whatever walks in those doors.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Vault E-Boy.
Yeah, Vault E-Boys. And it's like, yeah, it's the whole marketing endeavor to make vaults seem more appealing to families with children.
Another thought I had was LSD-crazed raiders. Okay. Kind of pulling into the government experiment shit that was going on.
Yeah. Man, this is fun. Okay, so 1990s. Any last thoughts, Pumpkin? Time to move on to the next one. You good? Pumpkin's
good. Nothing really. Like, I think that was about it.
Cool. Who would like to go next? I see Void's hand. Void, where are you taking us?
Welcome to the land of disco in the 1970s.
Okay, 1970s. We're hitting all the different 1900s eras that aren't already in Fallout. So, disco? We're doing like disco. What else are we doing?
So disco, all the neon that you can think of.
Neon is in my mind, is a little bit more 80s. If we're talking 70s,
clothing wise.
If we're talking 70s, it's like burnt orange, browns, and yellows and golds.
Yeah, you're looking at a lot of hippies, a lot of drugs, more drugs than what's in current Fallout.
A lot of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
A lot of cocaine, a lot of weed. The 70s, because I totally don't have Google up right now looking at
what things are in the 70s. The music would be totally different, right? Because from the early 70s, you have like really classic rock, but then you have the evolution through the 70s where rock became less popular and disco kind of took over by the end of the decade. But then you also had the re-emergence of rock with punk toward the end of the 70s that was like against disco. So you would have like, and forgive me if I'm taking it over, but this is the idea that pops in my head, is that you would have like competing raider groups that would be like the punk raiders versus like the disco raiders.
And all of the music I love. Like that 70, if you put me into the 70s and just took me to concerts, I would love the rest of my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's a good era of music for sure.
Because I would end up dying in the pits. But the idea that this came about from was somebody said, I think it was Pumpkin that said, we need parachute power armor pants.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm stealing that, taking a line from the Extremely Goofy movie, and making bell-bottom parachute power armor pants.
Nice. I don't know how that works, but that's pretty amazing.
Basically, also, if you're falling, the bell-bottoms spread out, and they're just parachutes.
They just turn into parachutes. That's great. Do you mind if we put this on pause for just a minute? Because Germinator only has so much time before he has to leave, and I want to give him a chance to chime in. Yep. Germinator.
Absolutely.
Germinator, feel free to interrupt us with your time period, and then we'll time travel back to Void after you go.
I mean, it's not too different from Void's, because I ended up going with the mid-60s, just as the Vietnam War kicked off.
All right.
Because I figured that Vietnam War fought with stealth suits and power armor would be a lot more badass than, you know, just your little M14s and all that little toys.
Oh, those little toys. Yeah, those. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the 1960s is sort of the last decade, really, where transistors weren't a thing yet. So it's still within that actual fallout-y period when you think about it.
Right, yeah. Like, there is music from the 1960s that does show up in Fallout games. So it kind of alludes to this idea that's about as far forward in time as culture progressed, yeah. Right? So you're taking it just to the end of the decade.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So what other, did you have any other ideas?
Well, as we know, the 60s were called the swinging 60s for a good reason.
Wait, are we going like Austin Powers with this? Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Do you have a quest where you lose your mojo and have to go find it again?
That's actually not a bad idea. I hadn't thought of that.
But now we're talking. Now we're talking colors. We're talking like flowers and hippies and bright colors and all sorts of again drugs and music.
Oh God, you acid man.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
acid.
Yep, all that stuff.
Except I'm thinking that those creatures in the wild that spit acid on you, it's not a damaging acid per se, but it gives you the psychological effects of acid, so right. It
you start
basically throws you into another universe while it then tries to devour you, and you have to fight against this giant flower in your head, basically.
Yeah, I would imagine my computer screen as I'm playing starts like all the lines start like streaming across the screen and changing colors, and I can't tell what I'm looking at anymore. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I like that. I like
those
that.
Those of us that have been there know.
You've been to the late. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Moving on. Well, here, let's see what anyone else thinks about the 60s. Anyone else want to chime in about the 60s here? Void, I saw your hand. What do you think?
Are we going to find a big open field with a very large stage in it?
Yeah,
I know you're going from mid 60s and this is late 60s, but are we going to see Woodstock or some sort of version of it?
Or the remains of Woodstock, but it's now just full of ghouls or something.
Oh, a bunch of hippie ghouls.
Hippie ghouls, yeah.
And Jimi Hendrix, yeah.
Yeah, hippie ghouls with Jimi Hendrix on the stage fighting them off, and you have to go rescue him.
He's hitting them with his guitar and his equipment to try to...
Yes!
Yeah, and you've got to save him. And the way you save him is that you shoot them all with the spray from that, from whatever that mutated monster was, and it makes all the hippie ghouls high, and then they can't walk straight anymore, and then you get away.
Yeah, and then Hendrix plays a couple of notes, and they start grooving out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I like it. I like it. Cat Pat, what do you think?
Okay, two things. One, I'm imagining a group of raiders based off the Beatles.
Okay, yeah.
Or, yeah. Like, or it doesn't have to be raiders, but just a group kind of like the Kings.
Right, right, but instead it's the Beatles, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing I'm thinking is if they were to do something like this, they would have to do like Cheech and Chong and like Cher.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you bring some of that in.
Yes.
Yeah, Adam's child has something to say too. Adam?
Okay, I was going to try and look this up. I feel like, okay, so was Willie Nelson was popular in like the 60s, right?
Yes, that sounds right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was imagining that he could be almost like an Oswald where he's a glowing one ghoul, but he's also sentient and he could be your companion.
Okay, yeah. He sings folk songs and stuff when you're out on the trail together. Yep. Some old country tunes. Yeah.
Oh, does he give us weed?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah. I figured I should clarify that, but I also figured it was kind of a given.
Yeah, I think in fact that's the requirement, is that once the weed is gone, he leaves. He only comes with you.
You have to supply weed. Him to keep him.
Right.
Or that's his power, is instead of reanimating ghouls, he just has an endless supply.
Right.
I was going to ask if having his companion an endless fetch quest of just finding more weed.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you think every time you get more weed.
It's like Preston Garvey, except with weed.
Right, you think every time you get the weed, like it'll be like, oh, you finished the quest, congratulations. But then he's like, oh, but we got to get more.
I smoked all the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Germany, I don't want to keep you too long. I know you only have so much time. Anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, that was roughly about it.
Yeah, this is fun. Great ideas. Let's feel free to leave if you need to, and thank you for being here. Let's move back to Void. We're moving ahead into the 70s again. Anything else that we didn't talk about yet, Void, that you wanted to throw in there?
I got to go back to the 70s because I was looking up the 60s.
okay. Yeah. Well, here, let's open it up to some other people while you brainstorm some other stuff. Anybody else in the 70s? Cad Pat?
Okay. With the 70s, I think they should do like muscle cars and stuff like that.
Yeah. Because
I know Fallout doesn't normally have cars, but so many iconic muscle cars came out in the 70s.
Right. And shows where you like there were car chases were a big thing in the 70s. For sure.
I would love that. I'm a huge car guy, so I would love that.
Yeah, I think that totally fits the 70s vibe for sure.
You can take a page out of Mad Max's book with the game. Just make it so you can customize your vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Pumpkin?
Didn't we kind of have something close to that with the Atom Cats?
Yes. Yeah, but it was like power armor instead of cars. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but and that was a little bit more 50s, like 50s tuner culture. This would be like 70s tuner culture. So a slightly different. But also the style of the cars would be a little bit different too. You'd have more of that like 70s style. Void, any other thoughts yet?
I figured out how we could trigger the wars that sent us all into intermission. The Soviet invasion of Afghanistan.
All right. Yeah.
In 1979.
Yeah. And also the gas crisis could be part of that too. And then, yeah. Yes.
Wait a minute. That whole scenario sounds a little familiar.
It's weird. It's like history repeats itself somehow. All right. Anybody else have any thoughts about the 70s? Any other 70s versions of Fallout or ways that could play out? No? I'm seeing no more ideas. Well, Void, any last thoughts?
An elephant is the only quadruped to have four knees.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that. Thanks for the fun facts. Fun facts. That was fun facts with Void. All right. Who would like to go next? I see Adam's child hand. Child's hand. Adam's child. Man, I always stumbled over your name. All right. What are you thinking? Where are we going?
We're going to World War One. Specifically, the peak of World War One. So our entire history is exactly the same up until the point where people are realizing, okay, mustard gas, it's effective for people to suffer, but it's not putting them out of their misery fast enough.
Okay.
So we have the world scientists working on a weapon that won't make people suffer, and they decide to split the atom early.
Oh.
So they create primitive, unstable nukes. Blimps are pretty popular still. So either those are big enough. They're pretty much Pridwins of their time. Those are probably going to be things that drop them, or, those little early planes. But either way, tensions soar and the nukes are way more unstable than they think, and the world goes to hell. So the First World War is the great war and the only war to ever happen worldwide, because the world is no longer with us afterwards.
Right. They used the technology too soon and then everything went bad. Yeah. So, okay. So we're going to the very beginning of the 20th century. Pumpkin has some thoughts. Pumpkin?
Isn't this just the plot to the movie 9?
I don't know that movie. Do you know that movie?
It is pretty much yes, actually.
little ragdoll people and the world's ended in early World War, like mid World War One.
I'll have to watch the movie now. I don't know.
It's like early AI robots. It's a really good movie.
Oh weird. But yeah, like we're talking like this is so World War One is before Einsteinian physics is really a thing. So this would have been like, okay, what if you push that stuff up just a little bit and then you get atomic bombs? And because Fallout moves things around, like, let's be honest, like they kind of make things convenient for the way that things play out. But any other thoughts on this, Adam?
I definitely think it's definitely going to be a steampunk style after the bombs drop. And also, I forgot to include what I thought power armor might look like, because I think instead of utilizing tanks, they more focus on the individualized soldier. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely not going to be as maneuverable as the power armor that we think of. I'm thinking it's going to be kind of like a box built around a single soldier,
like the first Iron Man suit,
kind of basically yeah. That maybe even a little bulkier,
yeah,
to the point where maybe their legs don't move, maybe it's just a standing torso on tank treads,
yeah
with, and it's just real stocky
arms and we're just thick,
yeah. You know, pipes are exposed, like he's basically got a giant steam engine on his back, mm-hmm. all that, mm-hmm. So
yeah, Nick's in chat says, I love me an airship. Do you think we could have airships too, like,
oh well, yeah,
dirigibles?
Yeah, dirigible floating dreadnoughts.
Oh, floating God. Dreadnoughts. I mean, basically that's basically what the Pridwin is, right? But like in even older style.
We need a lot more bigger guns, but kind of
yeah, yeah.
With everything being exposed, like, is it like Is with everything being exposed, did he have like the same? Did they have like the same life expectancy as like a flamethrower?
the soldier in the suit.
I mean, with precise engineering, I'm sure they would be like, oh, only the non-important parts are showing. I'm sure you'd have to like get them to like turn around in order to expose the engine. But as long as you're facing the enemy, you're okay. It's like from Doctor Who, the Zoltars or something?
Zoltarans.
Yeah. As long as you don't hit them in the back of their head, they're good.
Yeah. So if we're talking the very beginning of the 20th century, we also, that's like the robber barons age, right? Like the Rockefellers and things like that. So you would have a whole different host of these powerful, rich elites who would be investing in the vaults and that technology and the competition between them. So instead of, you know, Robert House and the whole other cast of these like wealthy individuals who are part of the Enclave or not part of the Enclave and fighting against them and all that, you would have individuals from history. Like you could actually have those actual famous rich people. So that could be another piece that you could fit in there as well. CadPat has some thoughts. What do you think, CadPat?
Okay. As soon as you were talking about unstable nuclear bombs, I had the immediate memory of watching Oppenheimer and them talking about, oh, there's like a less than 1% chance that the atmosphere condition. So yeah. I'm just thinking you play into that with the vaults being the only places that have like oxygen, mm-hmm. or like there being a few places and the rest being like
it scorches the skies and everybody burns to death, that sort of thing.
Like but like after the everything's calmed down, you just have a gas mask and a respirator, basically. That's the only way you can survive
in order to come back out of the surface. Yeah.
I feel like
kind of like how they did Metro.
Yeah.
Kind of like how they did
Metro. Kind of Metro-y. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it'd be a lot more sense is if instead you just ditch the nuclear weapon idea and make it as radiological weapon. So instead of it being a uncontrolled fission, you're instead just going to be like, oh, here's some seeds that we're going that they're really going to aerosolize and then send it towards the enemy over there, and we're going to attack the Germans with it with aerosolized cesium, pretty much.
Yeah, you could have a bunch of the remnants of different types of war technology like taken more extreme. And so instead of having like the glowing sea from like a nuclear explosion, you can have like the remnants of like mustard gas fields or the cesium like you're talking about,
this is salting the earth with radiological weapons. So instead of it being nukes that end the world, it was, Europe just pretty much is a poison itself to death using radiological weapons. So instead of it being actual nukes, it's a dirty bomb pretty much that
right. Nothing that grows anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing grows anymore. And then, so all you could really, and then, you know, Germany, oh no, they send the Zeppelins and then they dropped the exact same weapon across the entire eastern seaboard. All of a sudden, America has been destroyed because instead of it being a sudden one day event, it was just a slow burn over an entire week where everyone's like, "Well, it's the end of the world, I guess now," and so we have to go into the vaults.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like just being a little more entertaining that way, where it's, instead of just even a 2-hour event, it was, well, I mean, they just sent U-boats across. They just sent U-boats and poised the Chesapeake Bay, so now we have to respond by bombing Hamburg with our own season. Weapons or plutonium weapons or whatever it is, just, but instead of just be actual nukes, it is just, we're going to salt the earth, make sure nothing grows here ever again.
That gets bad. As someone who has dealt with CBRN training, it takes a long time to get fully decontaminated if something like that comes in.
Yeah, interesting.
Even something like phosgene can absolutely destroy an entire city. That's just a chemical weapon. That, like, 85% of the deaths in World War One from chemical weapons was from phosgene gas. It is a blister agent that's gonna, I believe, is it a blister agent like mustard gas? It is like NX gas, actually. So it's going to completely overwhelm the nervous system. It's a nerve agent, if I remember correctly. And it will last in the environment for years and years and years to come. And it's basically, if parents have to destroy the earth, you completely, like, anything that's contaminated with that is not going to be decontaminated for years.
It just stays toxic.
It stays toxic. And it's also heavier than air, but it's lighter than water. And so it's just going to, if it gets into water, it's going to stay on the surface and it's not going to dilute itself, but it's heavy in the air though. So it's going to fall into craters. And so so imagine that over an entire city.
Just covers
like, it. We have a battlefield, but
essentially Chernobyl on a worldwide scale.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So how's that sound, Adam? You've set up a very terrible and tragic situation.
I think Nova sent set up a way more tragic scenario.
You tossed the pitch, and then he just hit the home run with it, yeah. and well, this is where we're at now.
I originally set it up to be like they wanted to make nukes a instant death instead of an agonizing death, and Nova's like, "Why don't we just kill them with radiation poisoning?
More agonizing,
make it slower."
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I looked up phosgene. It's a blistering agent. It attacks. It attacks moisture centers.
Yeah, so basically, what you're going to do is you're going to drown your own lungs with phosgene gas.
Ugh.
Have fun.
That sounds great.
And also, now that I am thinking about it, in the lore, it does say that China did use biological and chemical weapons on the battlefield.
Yeah.
And so you do have the World War influences right there. Just imagine it just a lot slower, more painful, because instead of having power armor soldiers, you're like, well, here's a guy who is kind of skateboarding on tank tracks.
Yeah.
Slowly moving across the battlefield.
So, Adam, any other thoughts on this one? Like, this sounds horrific, but also very Fallout-y at the same time.
No, yeah, I just like the idea of there only ever being one world war.
Yeah, just the one, and that was it. It's the last war. Boom.
And instead of mustard gas being the one banned weapon, it would be nukes that would be banned from warfare.
You know how sometimes you look in the mirror and you think, if only I could lose that extra weight, and you've been trying and trying. Well, have you considered weight loss by Hims? It's designed to support losing weight and keeping it off, and they now offer an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps you regulate your appetite and eat less, and in combination with both a better diet and exercise, you can lose 20% more weight. And you can get it easily with Hims. Everything happens online. They connect you to a licensed provider who will determine if this is the right treatment for you. Then, if prescribed, they'll ship it to you right to your door. No insurance necessary. And on top of that, they support you beyond just selling you the thing. They'll support you with messaging from their care team. There's also an in-app lifestyle and nutrition support that includes recipes and meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content. Simply put, they will dial in exactly what you need in order to reach your goals. So if you're ready to reach your goals, visit hims.com/falloutlore to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/falloutlore. hims.com/falloutlore. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit hims.com. So I walked into a major retailer the other day looking for some new clothes, and I couldn't find anything. And on top of that, the prices are not great. Bad selection, too expensive, and poor quality means that I've been looking other places. And you've heard me talk about Quince, so I went back to Quince. I was looking for some shorts. I found some European linen shorts for $34. And let me tell you, these were the perfect things to buy for the warm weather we have lately. It is getting hot out there, and these shorts are keeping me not only cool, but fashionable. So cool in two ways, I guess. So why would I go back to a major retailer when I can get a much better product at a great price? Plus, Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen. You are getting the best thing for the best price. So refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/falloutlore for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/falloutlore for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/falloutlore. Okay. Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, time to move on. We've got one more I know of. Ira, you have a different time period, one we haven't really covered yet. What are you thinking?
Oh, yeah. So when I saw this topic, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Everything working?
No, you're good.
All right.
You're
good. So immediately I knew it's 1980s. It is my favorite decade. I can't explain why, but it is.
Right?
So sure. With my mind's eye, started to see all the aesthetics turn the 50s, 40s, 50s, 60s to 80s. So that's mostly what I focused on. And I don't even know where to start.
Well, are we talking like when I think 80s, I think fashion, I think music, I think the politics of the time, like
music definitely is the biggest. I love 80s music. So uh-huh. What would be in the radio playing just 80s synth pop and
yeah, new wave,
glam rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different kind of, could be different radio stations to separate the music a little bit or everything in the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking of like places to go explore, movie theaters. I know we already have like drive-in theaters, but not specifically. I don't think there has been any actual movie theaters, but then roller skating rinks.
Yeah, roller skating was a big thing in the 80s. Yeah, roller skating rinks, movie theaters, bowling alleys, those kinds of things.
Arcades.
Yeah, yeah. The like new video game technology was still new and exciting. People were like, oh, go to the arcade. Pinball machines were still a thing people played, even though those yeah. go back to previous decades. Yeah, I could see all of that stuff. Also, the color palette would be very, very neon. You've got neon and even the hairstyles and the clothing, like the remnants of 80s clothing that you would find and the big hair and, you know, like the bangs. My wife and I, every time we go on a trip, every time we go on vacation and stay in a hotel room, we try to find wherever we are, whatever is the like game show channel for that's available in the hotel room. And it turned out the last time we went on a trip, there were multiple game show channels at the hotel. And one of them was like actual game shows, like the original game shows from like the 1980s and early 90s. And it was amazing. It was so, so amazing to like just look at the way people were back then and how they talked and the clothes they wore and their hair and how the hair changed. And I got to the point where I could start like, because at the end of each game show, you can see like the date and in the credits. And I was able to start guessing based on like their hair alone, what year it might have been.
Right.
Yeah. All of that stuff is so 80s to me. Yeah,
because that changes a lot from the early 80s to the late 80s. But if you think of the whole decade and like all movies, like if you think there would be movie posters, mm-hmm. so many different like 80s rom-coms.
Yeah, action films and horror films were big. Yeah.
Yeah, horror. That's what I was just thinking about right before I started I remembered 80s horror is it's really its own thing. Like the 80s horror movie monsters.
Right.
That could be easily brought in all kinds of different, oh, like just gross looking. You think of What is it? Pumpkinhead and
all
stuff
of them,
like stuff like that.
Friday the 13th and Freddy Krueger and all of that stuff, and the special effects in those movies, it was before digital, so everything was actually done in camera, which meant that they used a lot of like real prosthetics and things like that, which somehow has this even weirder uncanny quality to it, which makes it feel even more gross sometimes. But I can imagine that.
And a lot of times it's something slimy.
Yeah, slimy stuff or like stretchy, like skin stretching, or when things like flesh comes off of stuff. Like, and they would use actual like real things on camera to do that stuff. Yeah. Do you mind if we open it up? And it looks like we have some other ideas here. People have.
Yeah, I'm just going to add that thinking of like what normally it would look like 80s, but then to bring the like futurism, then think of movies like Blade Runner, RoboCop, Terminator,
right?
Stuff like that to bring what they thought in the 80s that the future might look like.
Right. Yeah. Cause there was a lot of that, like predicting the future, but definitely through the lens of the 1980s. So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Ash, you have some thoughts. What are you thinking?
When horror got mentioned, my brain immediately was like, what if some poor actor got ghoulified and stuck in his suit?
Yes, right.
Stuck in his monster suit.
Or an entire like set, like a movie set. Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of them. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Or like the entire set of like Thriller, the music video, Michael Jackson's music video with all the zombies and stuff. But now they're all just actual ghouls stuck in their zombie costumes. Pumpkin.
Man, that would have to be there.
Yeah. Pumpkin, what do you think?
You guys brought up movies, and immediately I was like, if you're talking 80s, the 80s rocked the action movie scene.
Yes.
So I'm talking Die Hard. I'm talking Commando. Right. I'm talking Rambo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that is what described the 80s for me. Like, I mean, there's also you also got to look at animated movies. Think of The Brave Little Toaster. Think of Land Before Time.
Okay.
Yeah. Like that was that was the year. Like 80s was the year of the entire 80s decade was the movies year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Years.
Yeah. Former host says like, Freddy Krueger is real now, by the way.
So very clearly with this being if we're bringing Fallout to the 80s, almost every action movie is propaganda.
Oh, yeah, true.
Which technically was in real life too.
Right. The solo American soldier beats the enemy because communism is bad. Yeah, all of that. Yes, absolutely. Which is a very Fallout thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but like action movies, I'm thinking like they're going to be putting power armor in those movies. They're going to be putting... Like, you're going to be seeing all that. It's going to, like, the propaganda that would come from the 80s in a Fallout universe would explode.
Yeah. I also like the idea. We've got more people chiming in here. This is very popular. This popped in my head real quick. I like the idea that instead of cryptids, like in 76, we actually have the movie monsters and villains as, like, real psychopathic, messed up individuals out in the world, like the Freddy Krueger's real thing. But all of them, Michael Myers is out there somewhere. Yeah, like all of that stuff. I saw Cadpat's hand. Cadpat, we'll go Cadpat, Void, and then Adam's Child. That seems to be the order I noticed them in. Cadpat, what are you thinking?
Okay, I'm mostly just thinking about like the pop culture, like not like the big blockbuster movies and stuff like that, but like G.I. Joe, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Garfield, all of that, about how those would be spread out through the world, and not exactly those, but how stuff like that.
Right.
Because, yeah, blockbuster movies were massive, but there were still kids.
Yeah, there was the whole kids thing. Kids
wanted to see Freddy Krueger rip someone apart.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, as a kid in the 80s, like I didn't go see those movies. I was too young, but I was definitely a big Ninja Turtles fan, you know, and I watched He-Man on TV, you know, like all of that stuff.
Oh, my God, Transformers.
Yeah, heck. Transformers, yeah.
Imagine if they took put power armor and basically turned it into Transformers, so it could be both your vehicle
right,
and your combat.
Right.
Combat it turned.
Yep. Good ideas. Void?
One, Adam Child and I have been having some fun in Twitch chat talking to each other. And he said, what was it, Rocky as Liberty Prime?
Okay.
And I I said, that's just a Hugh Jackman movie called Real Steel.
Also true.
So, yeah. But no, the Rambo in power armor. The dude's already like cinematically invincible because he's got severe plot armor.
Yeah,
because
he's freaking Rambo. Sure.
Unrealistic clip size for his guns.
Right.
I don't know that he needs the power armor.
Yeah, but if we're turning it up to 11, then yeah, fair. The power armor. Yeah.
We have John Rambo McClane in power armor.
John what McClane was that? Might need the armor.
Fair enough.
Die Hard.
We
don't need a Frank Horrigan like situation, guys. Come on.
Here's my proposal. We put Rambo in the power armor. And he beats up the Chinese propaganda Liberty Prime.
Okay, yeah. That actually is real in this version of Fallout, and he takes it out in power armor as a solo soldier. Yeah, yeah, I like that. Adam's Child, we'll do you, and then go to Ash. Go ahead.
We are missing a crucial crossover. E.T., but he's a Zaytan.
yeah, alien movies like E.T., yeah, that was
the thing. It'd be the same thing with Predator.
Yeah. All right. Ash?
There is just so many different movies and genres to it feels like it's infinite to bring in stuff.
80s was very much a movie decade, especially because you could actually a lot of films were put on television and then you could record them and so you could actually watch them again because VHS became a thing. So yeah, it was very much a movie centric decade. Ash, you had a thought too. I got
one real quick. Oh, never mind.
sorry. We'll do Ash and then we'll do Lil Green. Ash?
Pogs is currency instead of bottle caps.
Pogs. Yes. That was a thing too. I don't remember what year that was, but I feel like that was more 90s, but I could be wrong.
Sure, that was like late 80s, early 90s.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
I had an 80s kick. It's an 80s thing. I had an 80s kick.
Was it an 80s thing? Okay, so maybe it started in the 80s and then worked into the 90s.
Because ALF was an 80s thing, and Pogs and ALF were a huge, big thing together. ALF,
another alien, another weird alien. Yeah. Yeah. Lil Green?
Okay, so my thought was some super fan makes the proton pack from Ghostbusters, and it's a playable weapon.
I like it.
And it's just it puts you on a quest of like just like this ridiculous thing. It's like, oh, it's just like some like it's just a prop. It's just a prop. It's just a prop. And then like for some reason like an NPC uses it. It's just like, no, this isn't a prop.
Yeah, proton packs.
Like, the goofy Fallout fashion.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. All right, any other thoughts before Cad Pat? Another thought.
Something to add, the 80s wasn't just massive for movies. It was like the birth of video games.
Right. As a pop culture phenomenon, yes.
I'm like, imagine Doom in that universe, but like with power armor.
Right. Well, Doom was 94, 93, something like that. So Wolfenstein, Castle Wolfenstein, I think it was 89, if I could be wrong about that as well. But yeah, definitely. Or Mario. Let's just have the old Nintendo games. Yeah. Ira, this was a fun idea. This has clearly spawned a lot of different perspectives on this. Anything else you want to add before we wrap that up?
Well, what I now remembered, I thought of what the Pip-Boy version in this game would be more like, a Walkman style device with some kind of screen, of course, because you have to have the screen to see everything. But, I think that was pretty much it. Like, music was main thing for when I thought that, okay, I'm in the whatever wasteland where this would be happening, and listening to whatever it is, 80s music, to just go blasting and killing the enemies, whatever.
Right.
I mean, I love this Fallout that we have, this style. Mm-hmm. But if it was like how I've now imagined the 80s, it would be my all-time favorite game ever. It's my favorite decade.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. Well, man, you guys have had lots of really fun ideas here. And I think Lil Green and Ash, you guys were just hanging out. Any? I want to give you the opportunity if you guys want to chime in. Ash, any other thoughts? Anything spring to mind during the conversation? No?
No, I think I've pretty commented where I felt.
Okay. Lil Green, any other thoughts?
I mean, I had one. I posted it into the Discord, not the Discord chat, the Twitch chat, but when Nova brought up the 1920s and like his idea off of Adam's Child, I'm like, we went from mutually assured destruction to slow mad. Everything's gonna get destroyed just very slowly. But no, everything was that's really all I had.
Cool.
It's coming at a snail's pace, but it'll get to you eventually. It'll get all of us eventually.
Kind of like old age. Yay. All right. Well,
death and taxes. That's the only thing they fear in life.
Yeah, I see Void's hand. Void is excited. What do you got, Void?
One more thing for the 90s, because I just read it in Twitch chat. Jurassic Park came out in the 90s.
That's true.
We're going to have dinosaurs in the 90s.
Dinosaur fallout?
Yes.
That would be
because
nuts.
You know damn well they'd be trying to make the dinosaurs with FEV, and that thing, that stuff would be wicked. There would be a
vault. There would be a dino vault for sure.
Yes.
Death claws?
Yes. Death claws? Not just death claws, actual dinosaurs.
I have one more thing. Going back to the 90s.
Uh-huh.
So, Furby would be the new Gary.
Okay. How does that work?
Like, it'd just be like, somehow they became like functional.
They're self-aware or something?
As you're going through like the vault where you find them.
Like an entire vault full green. Of Furbies.
Yeah.
You just gave an entire like four generations nightmares.
All they say is Furby.
Furby.
It's just the laugh.
No. Furby. It's just the laugh.
Yeah. What would be even more traumatic is you stumble into that vault and you come across all of these Furbies, right? And they're just everywhere. And then that's it. There's no reason to go in the vault. It's just horror.
I'm gonna make it scarier, especially for another set of fandom. What if they had Weeping Angel logic?
Oh yeah, where they move, for people who aren't aware, when you're not looking at them, they move. Yeah. All right, everyone's freaking out on this one. Well, guys, we're at the end of the show. Before we have too many more nightmares, I have to wrap this up. But we're going to go back through. Everybody, feel free to give your elevator goodbyes, however that works. Your quick little, hey, this is who I am. You can get a hold of me this way. And any last thing you want to say or put out into the world. And we're going to go in order on the screen. Ash, thank you for joining us. I'm glad you made time. I know you've been busy with other stuff.
Yeah, you know, you can find me on the Discord, like always. I'm always happy to chat. It's pretty much it.
All right. Brachiodreamer Ash, by the way, the full name, in case you were looking for it. Yeah. Just making sure people know. Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Pumpkin.
Well, I mean, you can always find me in the Discord. You can find my Blue Sky, both the Blue Sky for myself and for Dungeons and Dipshits. That show will be talked a bit more with the next person in line. I'm going to talk about Tism Talk, because that's our second show that we kind of came up with, mm-hmm. where we kind of just find a random topic that we wanted to talk about and talk about it. And we kind of had a Fallout iceberg going, and we just filmed our first non-Fallout episode. So that'll be coming out pretty soon. And we had a great story from actually Jeremy, a family member of Jeremy, which was hilarious. So check that out. That is Tism Moments on YouTube. TISM Moments. And is it, Jeremy, is it Tism Talk on
Spotify? It is Tism Talks on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
There you go.
And, thanks, Pumpkin. Yeah, and I'll be in the Discord after this call, so.
The post hangout chat, by the way, in case anybody else wants to join, everybody on the Robots Radio Discord. Awesome. Thanks, Pumpkin. Void?
Hi, my name is Jeremy Geyser, or Void. I am the DM for the Dungeons & Dipshits Live Play D&D podcast, and we are going through a massive revamp right now. I'm not going to get into all of it, but we are having some big things. We are starting up Season 2 in, hopefully, June. And so, yeah, We're getting into that. Logan talked about TISM Talks. Basically, that is pretty much every Thursday is what I'm aiming for with that. And I've been consistent with it so far. So nice. I'm very proud of myself on that. But yeah, so Dungeons and Dipshits is hopefully going to be every other week.
Awesome. Very cool. Go check that stuff out. Yeah. And they're on the Robots Radio Network, so you can go to robotsradio.net if you need to remember where it is. Find it on there. Thanks, Void. Lil Green, anything you want to share?
Just my typical shtick. You can find me on Instagram to see my photography, lilgreen_photography. I'm actually editing a bunch of stuff right now to post. If not, I'm on the Discord for Robots Radios at just Lil Green. And if you're playing 76 on the PC, I'm hobbing in and out a little bit more frequently right now. That's really all I got.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Ira, you're up next. Anything you want to share?
Well, just the usual Discord, same username as before, Ira_Moody. That's, personal life wise, I'm starting a new job, so we'll see how I can manage with, because of the time difference, it was mentioned in the pre-chat.
Yeah.
For me, it's now 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
We'll see how I can navigate with that. And hopefully I can, because this is super fun. And I had so much fun today. Thank you, everyone.
Well, thank you for making the time to join us. And good luck with the new job. That's a big thing. So hope it goes well.
Thank you.
Let's go to CadPat. Thanks for joining us, CadPat.
Thanks for having me. I cannot really disclose much about my personal stuff due to OPSEC. But I do play 76 every so often, so if you're ever on Xbox and you see the cliff face, stop by and say hello.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. Nova?
Not really much. I'm on Discord, so if you ever want to say hi, I will be on there. And I play Fallout 76 on occasion, so there are a few other games, too. Been playing a lot of Black Ops 3 lately.
Oh, wow.
Zombies. Gotta love it. Nice. It's a 10-year-old game, but a friend bought it. I'm like, yeah, might as well play it. And
sure,
we've just been going back and trying to actually do some of the things. He's brand new to the game. Like, yeah, feels like a lot of fun to me.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again. And then Adam's Child, wrapping it up.
Hi, I'm Adam's Child. You can find me on the Robots Radio Discord as Adam's Child. You can also find me on Instagram at _JT_Sims with 2 M's. And you know, hit me up if you want. I'm a cool guy to talk to. Right now I'm talking to Pumpkin and Jeremy about maybe doing something with them in the future. Maybe catch me on one of their podcasts. Who knows? We got things in the works. We're going to find out what happens.
Awesome. And yeah, if you guys have any questions or want any advice, I'm here to help. Don't be afraid to reach out. But yeah, good luck with all that, Adam Stroud, and thanks for joining us. All right, that's going to do it for this episode. Man, so many fun ideas. If you have other ideas, please comment, join us on the Discord, let us know about that. Also, I have to shout out our patrons. Thank you for everybody who supports the show, patreon.com/falloutlorecast. Don't have any new patrons to shout out this week, but of course, the Sentry Bots get shout outs every week. Germinator, Larry D, The Main Monkey, and Ira Moody, thank you so much for your support. And if you'd like to help us out in other ways, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I'll read those out on future episodes. You can also share the show with your friends, or, you know, just come join us. Join us on the patron chats. They're super fun. We'd love to have you along for the ride. But that's going to do it for this week. Thank you, everybody. And have a wonderful next week, and I guess avoid any other tragedy out there, like, I don't know, dinosaurs. I'll see you next time. Bye, everybody. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.